Welcome in, MusketeerReport.com. Rick Brewing here, and I'm with Paul Diener Jr. of GoBearcats.com. And, Paul, we're going to talk a little bit about the Crosstown shootout last night. UC winning 60-45, but we're going to focus a little bit more on the atmosphere. A lot was made about the moving it downtown, moving it into U.S. Bank Arena, everything that went with that, having all the both teams' fans in the arena at the same time. Overall, what were your thoughts on the atmosphere in U.S. Bank Arena last night?
I thought it was a pretty charged atmosphere. I mean, I thought it was great. It was pretty unique. It had a feel. This was something that Mick Cronin talked about after the game. Was it had the feel of a Final Four type atmosphere where you have two pretty charged fan bases going back and forth, and you don't see that a lot. Particularly when you have so many games that are on campus, and even really a lot of these neutral site games that you have now, they're tournaments early in the season. They're played in Puerto Rican hotel ballrooms, where you've got 80 people there. I mean, to be in a really charged neutral atmosphere, it really did have an NCAA tournament type of feel to it, but within the city. And that made it, I think, even grander and kind of a special night and different. I think a good turn for the atmosphere of it, but there's pluses and minuses.
Sure. And I'll admit, coming into this game, I was in the camp of don't move it off campus.
Right.
And I think the biggest part that I was upset with is that, more than anything, they were just doing change for the sake of change. Mm-hmm. There really was no reason, in my opinion, why this made the game more safe or why this took out the element of fighting or whatever that they thought it was going to do. I didn't see that side of it, so that was why I was kind of against it, I think, more so than anything. After having sat through the game, though, I tend to agree with you.
Yeah.
Because I thought the one thing you wrote last night that I read in your piece was that it was a crazy ebb and flow. Every time something happened, there was a reaction, a positive reaction, and there was a lot of energy. You never had that 3 or 4 minute stretch. And let's face it, last night there were plenty of those where neither team could score. They really struggled in the first half and made that an ugly game on both sides of the ball. If that would have been at one of the gyms, it would have been silent for a lot of that first half. Instead, we had constant emotion and energy from both fan bases.
Yeah, that makes it a lot of fun. And, those lulls can really bring down a game. I mean, imagine if this would have been an 85-80 game instead of 60-45. The back and forth that you would feel, if Xavier would have made a deeper run there at the end of this game. Imagine what that would have been like with the Xavier fan base coming back and the back and forth. Chris Max after the game, at the end, it sort of felt like an away game. But that's what happens in these environments. When you get behind, the momentum can really just kill you. And that was part of what happened. But yeah, I thought it was fun. You're always, at the end of the day, you just wish you had a better facility down there than U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank is old, it's rickety, it's difficult in every way, shape, and form. If the facility itself was nice, and that's really what you say. If you're Xavier, I'm sure this is what, and you can go deeper into this, and I'm sure this is what's being said over there, is we have this beautiful Cintas Center facility, it's state-of-the-art that everyone loves, and we built it for games like this. We don't want to have that taken away from us. How much is that a part of the argument over there with Xavier right now?
I don't know. I haven't heard that as much, honestly. I think it's, from what I've heard from Coach Mack, it's a lot more about the tradition, the rivalry of it, just that it's always, for the most part, been at one of the two arenas, and you've had some really exciting games on campus. I mean, Xavier's knocked off UC when they've been number one,
right.
Things of that nature. I think there's a lot more variables that come into play when you start moving it to each arena and you get maybe some more of your classic upsets or your crazy finishes. But then again, I think back to that game 3 years ago with Jordan Crawford and Lance Stevenson and Tu Holloway. I think it was double overtime or at least overtime.
Yeah, double overtime.
And it was, what if that game would have been at U.S. Bank Arena last night? I mean, the atmosphere would have been insane with the amount of back and forth that happened down the stretch in that game. So I would have loved to, I love the atmosphere aspect of it last night, But I do kind of agree from the standpoint of just the rivalry itself, of the give and take, wins and losses, and you know maybe the potential of upsets happening. I think it's much more exciting to play it at the on-campus facilities. And I know Mick's argument last night was that it takes the hatred out of the game when you move it off campus. Mm-hmm. I guess I see that side of it. I don't necessarily agree. I think that's what college athletics is about. I don't really see it as hatred as much as it's fun. I mean, this is what college, you know, they don't call it hatred when it's at Duke and it's the Cameron Crazies. And they're yelling a lot of things that aren't exactly nice to the other team either. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I don't think it's as bad on campus as Mick makes it out to be. I do think it worked out well at US Bank Arena as well. From the facility standpoint that you mentioned, though, you're right. I mean, the place is a dump. I heard from a lot of fans who were there last night who actually enjoyed their view in the upper level, thought it was actually pretty good. I've sat personally in those corner seats, the end zone that's sort of off in the corner, and those are the seats that I think are really bad at US Bank because they go so deep there in that corner, and you're positioned at an angle where the basket really kind of blocks your view out.
Yeah, yeah, and I want to get to that. You were mentioning the anger, and that is a tough thing to place, and I don't know that we as fans or even media members, at least the media members that have never played in this type of a game before, can really know what it's like to feel sort of backed into a corner by another team and fan base, what they like, particularly when it begins to get hostile as it did last year. When you have in any road game, when you're somewhere and it's just crazy and all you've got is you and your players and pretty much nobody else there, that's one thing. But when you go through an experience where there's you feel like the entire place is sort of crashing down on you, that can be sort of a game changer, I would imagine. Now, I don't know. I mean, I played in front of 25 people at St. Susanna one time, and I was really nervous. But I can't attest to what it's like to have that. But, you know, I think when – my guess is that's where that comes from, the idea of an anger – in a negative environment, and that can be a pretty scary thing. You know, he talked about his dad, his 71-year-old dad, getting hit with things. And so, now, I don't know about all that. That could just be fresh in the memory. I don't know how much that has happened in the past. You know, this back and forth on campuses has gone on for a long time. I mean, since 87 was the last time this was at a neutral site, and I don't know that things being thrown or hostile fans overrunning the teams has been a storyline really before this. Now the game was super charged, and I think the home courts have a little bit to do with that. But I don't know how much is okay. We are backed into a corner here. How much is having the back and forth keeps the fans more in check? Regardless of it, though, I think you're right. I think the neutral site, specifically for this year, take a little bit out of it.
But here's my thing on that. That isn't usually a problem, in my opinion, unless something like last year happens, which was, I mean, it was a terrible situation, but it's not going to happen. I mean, it's very rare. Yes, you could see it coming. Yes, it was building up for a few years, but it's not going to happen every year. It's not going to be a regular thing. And I don't think in the past, you know, Mick was talking about how things were getting thrown at the players and his father. Yes, that happens when there's a major ruckus at any arena. I mean, that's going to happen. It would have happened at US Bank Arena last night had they gotten into a fight there. That wasn't going to change. There's still fans from each team in the crowd. They're going to yell. They're going to throw things at you if something crazy would have happened. But that's not going to happen all the time. So I think he's being a little dramatic on the whole hatred thing being on the campus. To be honest with you, I think Mick doesn't want to play this game. And I think that's been very clear since last year. I don't think he wants to play the game at all. But I think he knows, you know, the city's going to keep pushing for it. Xavier's going to keep pushing for it. He's going to have to play it. So for whatever reason, he'd rather play it on a neutral court. And if his reasons really are because he feels it's safer there and it takes the hatred out, then I guess I'm all for it. You know, I mean, if it's really that big of a difference that he felt for him and his team, then I'll agree with him. I just I don't know. I don't think it changes that much because, like I said, I still heard plenty of things being yelled at the UC players when they walked past our shoulders. We were sitting right next to the alley they walked through, heading back to their locker room. I mean, there are plenty of things being yelled at them that wasn't a whole lot different from what they heard last year at Xavier.
Yeah, you're right about that. I don't know how much that's going to be blown out of proportion. Like I said, I think a lot of that comes from the last one fresh in their memory was what did happen. But I don't know if it is right to say that you should just, if something crazy happens on the court, you should expect to have things thrown at you by fans. I don't know if that's fair. I mean,
No, it's not.
I don't think any atmosphere that should be okay. It seems to be more tolerable in sport these days, which I find concerning. We could call it the Cleveland Browns theory. I feel like they started them and the Eagles have really started the concept of let's just throw things on the field or at people if we feel like we have to. You know, I don't know where this kind of came from, but, you know, I would hope that that's not something that even if stuff goes crazy on the court, that's not expected. And I don't know that there's a, like you said, though, I don't know if there's a lesser chance of that happening at U.S. Bank than there necessarily would be even at a home place. And the crowd can turn quicker with power and numbers, but, you know, if people are feeling that way and they're in close proximity, they're going to take a run at you, I guess.
Right. Paul, my thing would be this. Think about last year's situation and just transfer that to U.S. Bank Arena. Do you think the situation is any better there, especially with fans sitting next to each other? I don't think it is. I think it's maybe worse, and I think we maybe even have more problems with fans getting into it if what happened last year happens at U.S. Bank Arena. That's my whole thing. I just don't think moving it to U.S. Bank Arena and changing the name solved any problems from last year. What solved the problem from last year is having the fight happen. It wasn't a good thing. It shouldn't happen. It can't happen again, but it happened because it had been building up for years, and now it's not going to happen again because everyone knows it just simply can't happen.
Well, I think the biggest difference of what would have happened is when you have exit tunnels that go through your own fans, you don't have to worry about going through opposing teams' fans to get to your locker room. And that seemed to be a lot of what Mick was talking about, was trying to exit. And there was a lot of that. There was a lot of back and forth between Xavier fans and UC fans, and even the few UC fans that were there, and some Xavier people last year, if you remember afterwards. There was lots of rumors and some video and stuff like that. If you can separate and send people to their locker rooms through the opposing fan bases where you're kind of a little bit away from where they're sitting, that helps diffuse some things, or at least, if not diffuse, avoids a few of the exterior problems that come along with it. But, you know, there is some of that. There is certainly most of that would still have been in existence, I'd imagine, in the U.S. Bank community. I don't know. It's hard to tell what would happen in the stands if a fight broke out when you had both fans there. I don't know. I'd like to think that people would be better than that, but I've also seen Bengals Steelers games here, so I know that.
Right, and I think that would be my thing, is that I know it probably makes it sound like I'm saying everything, it's okay that this happened last year, and that's just the way it is, and that's not what I'm trying to say at all. It was a bad deal.
Yeah.
It can't happen again, and it's embarrassing for the city, and it's embarrassing, honestly, as people and our society, that this happens at sporting events routinely, and we pretty much just accept it at this point. That's not okay, but I don't think it changes it. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's still going to happen because that's the way our society is. It's not good. It's certainly embarrassing. But again, I don't think any of the changes fixed the issue of it, of the hatred that Mick talked about. But after we sit here, we're talking today, I think I'm in favor of playing it at a neutral site for the most part. I mean, I really did enjoy the atmosphere last night. I didn't think it took away from the game too much at all, having both fans there. And I do think one of the really cool things is, I personally know a lot of fans who, you know, you have family members who are a fan of the other team, or you have friends at work or whatever. I know a lot of people who joined up after work, went out to a bar, got a few drinks, got dinner, and then went and enjoyed the game together. And it was really kind of almost more of a in it together, we're all going to the game type of thing, which was kind of neat, as opposed to, oh, it's your year versus next year will be our year.
Yeah, you can. The fans can. That's a great point. Fans can go out and more celebrate together, and you get outside of, you know, the people that are part of the season ticket holder base and always had the seats. I mean, you have a lot of the other fans that can get in there. You really open it up to, like Mick said, being the city's game. This is the city's game, and you really want to be about the city. Let's celebrate the city. Let's do it downtown, where you have this new revitalized downtown. This couldn't have been done 5 or 6 years ago when we had empty spaces and just nothingness down there. Now that you have a vibrant downtown that's growing, this can be a part of it, and it can be a unique celebration. And on top of that, let's be real about what these two programs are. These two programs are now two of the elite programs in all of college basketball. They're both in the same city. To not give them an atmosphere that has a March feel to it, that can help simulate that March feel for a lot of young guys, your Samaj Christians, those types of guys, is doing them a disservice, I think, in a lot of ways, too. I mean, this was a, like Mick said, a Final Four atmosphere, an NCAA tournament atmosphere that come March, these guys will be drawing on when they're trying to prepare themselves for what that can be like. That, you know, even at conference tournaments, when it's neutral, you don't get something like this. Only a rivalry like this, a game that means that much, and the NCAA tournament, the only things that can bring that kind of emotion, that kind of real intensity out of a neutral site game, and with those kind of ebbs and flows back and forth. And I think let's treat these programs for what they are. They're national, and they're college basketball's elite, and I think that atmosphere gives it more of a national elite feel, like some of these big games that you have at domes and arenas all across the early season now. Let's treat it that way and let it become that.
Yeah, I agree completely about that part of it. I mean, it is, in my opinion, as good of a rivalry as there is in college basketball and sports in general. And I do think this will continue to increase. I heard some complaints that ticket prices were too much, and to be honest, I never really saw what they were exactly. I do know a couple people who attend most games and, you know, have season tickets or whatever that didn't buy a ticket because they just felt it was too pricey for going and sitting up top even. And that sort of surprised me. So I'm just wondering if they'll adjust any of that. But, I mean, for the most part, I thought they had a good turnout. I figured they wouldn't sell that out. But I think going forward, this is a game that will and should sell out. Paul, one of my things that I was kind of interested to get your take on is, to me, this was kind of subdued. And we talked about this on our podcast previewing the game on musketeerreport.com, that there wasn't much buzz. There wasn't a lot of talk about this game leading up. In the entire week before, we really didn't hear anything about it until right at like Monday afternoon, it seemed like. You finally started seeing it a little bit on Twitter, heard it on some radio stations, whatever the case may be, however you consume your media. You finally got a little bit of buzz about the game, but that seemed a little late to me. Is it just the timing being that it fell in the middle of the week, or is it a situation where UC being better and ranked higher and Xavier having low expectations coming into the season made for a lot of fans to think that it was going to be a blowout? Or what do you think caused that? Or did you not have that feeling on your end? Did you think there was the same amount of buzz?
No, I thought that there wasn't much buzz, but I mean, from my angle, you know, with Butch Jones, Tommy Tuberville, Nippert renovations, and an undefeated basketball team, I think it fell into the shuffle from the UC side a little bit. There's been a lot of stuff going on, and it's it's hard for a lot of people that do anything from the UC end to really give it that much when there's so many other things to be talked about over there as well. And that was part of the plan. I don't know. But, you know, UC played at Marshall on Saturday. That makes it hard to do much when you have a game in the middle of the week like that.
True.
There was no joint media thing. A lot of other stuff going on. The Bengals and the Steelers week thing happening. I mean, there is really a lot of other stuff going on in the local media right now that I think kind of drowned it out. And let's be honest, I think the local media here have just sapped everything you can out of last year and the fight. And there's really just so little more to be said. You had what happened last year. It's been talked about on it. This game is not normally talked about in the media year-round like it has been year-round. So when you get to the last couple of days before. What's the difference? We've been talking about this thing for 364 days. You know, there's really not too much more to be said other than that the page needs to be turned and we need to move forward. And you really can't even write much about that until the game actually happened. I think that was, to me, the biggest part of why the buzz wasn't there. And both schools were trying to downplay that as much as possible, any of me talking about last year. So the schools and everything, I think everybody just wanted to not make a huge deal anymore out of what happened, because frankly, I think I can speak for you, we were all pretty tired of that storyline.
The one thing about that is, we talked about this last time on the podcast too. You were kind of right on the same track as we were. It was kind of nice, honestly, not hearing about it. It was kind of nice not having buzz. And I was actually really, really impressed with ESPN last night. I was told that they really didn't show hardly anything from the fight. They mentioned it a little bit in passing, but they did not show clips from the fight last year and anything. I thought that was kind of cool by ESPN to kind of help these schools move past, move on. It's over with. We don't need to talk about it anymore. And it was like I said, it was just nice to not have to hear the same old tired storyline leading up to the game. I thought most of the media in town did a pretty good job of sticking away from it. I mean, everyone pretty much had the cliche turning the page preview story, but other than that, there wasn't really much rehashing of what happened last year.
Well, hearing that ESPN didn't show any highlights of the fight is more shocking than a morning coffee. The Tebow network not going for the ratings of showing the punches over and over again is good for them. Kudos to them if that was the case.
I can't believe that's true, but that is what I was told by a couple people who watched the game on TV last night. So
that's pretty unbelievable. I'll give them credit if that was the case. Maybe they had a few people from UC in their ears about that and took their word for it. Good for them if that's the case, because it should have been about the game. And you know, you can talk about the fight, but there's no need to keep rehashing that same footage. I think we've all seen it too much at this point.
Paul, final thoughts here, wrapping this up. What was your takeaway from the shootout? Where do we go from here?
I think we stay where we are, personally. I feel like that was such a great, unique environment and a great celebration of the city and a national feel, a great tournament feel. I think that you cannot deny that, to me, that felt like a new wave, the future of where these programs belong to be on that type of stage. And I felt like it created such a great atmosphere. It gave the game a refreshing jolt, I feel like. And I would love to see that atmosphere in an 85-84 game like we've seen so often in the past. The one that just goes back and forth in the end, I think it would be it'd be pretty memorable. And I think they might have, maybe on accident, maybe they shouldn't have been there. Who knows? But maybe they might have stumbled onto something special with this.
Right. I'm down. I say keep it at U.S. Bank if you want. Change it back to the shootout. I'm never going to call it the Classic, so you can just get over that at this point. Keep it at U.S. Bank Arena if you want. I'm okay with that. I'd love to see a close game there. And I think really one thing is going to be interesting is there's no Yancey Gates this year. There's no Mark Lyons. There's not a guy on either team who's even like that right now. I mean, there were no really personalities out there last night who you would think, oh, man, he's the one to watch out for. It'll be interesting to see what happens when someone gets one of those tough guys back. You know, someone gets a C.J. Anderson back on their team, a Mark Lyons, a Yancey Gates. One of those guys, we'll see where it goes from there. This thing will heat back up without question. And Mick said that last night. You know, there was no radio guy trying to stir the pot this year and start a fight. But it'll get back to that point. And he's right. It will. This is a heated rivalry. It's what it's about. You just gotta avoid the ridiculousness that happened last year. You can have a heated rivalry. We see it all over the country. Just quit being idiots and starting violence over sports. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Yeah, you're right. Quit starting violence everywhere. I'll tell you what, though. Mick never misses a chance to take a quick shot at a radio guy. He had Andy Furman in his sights before he ever walked up to that podium. I can tell you that much.
Oh, and he's exactly right for the record. I mean, he was. Yes. He absolutely deserved or should have said what he said, and I'm surprised he didn't say a lot more about it last year, because really the whole situation that went down on that radio show was just, it was a joke. And I mean, it was, UC, I believe, had a new SID at the time, which didn't know that you can't let a college age kid go on with Andy Furman before the shootout, because that's exactly what he's going to do. But, you know, I mean, that's just, it's just what happened. UC should have let him go on, but you got a new SID who doesn't know the situation.
But at some point in time, you've got to try and be better than that if you're Andy Furman. But this is indeed a podcast for another day. I can tell you that, because that could go on for another 30 minutes on that topic.
You're exactly right. Well, Paul, thank you so much for joining us. It was a great time, and enjoyed sitting next to you last night. And let's just hope, if it stays at U.S. Bank Arena, that we're always going to be courtside and not up top with DeCourcy and the other hacks.
Yeah. Send the Hall of Famers up top.
Yeah, that's right. All right, Paul Dina, everybody. Thanks a lot.